Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising, and thank you for joining us on this Thursday edition of the Female Solution. Today is Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, and we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to join this conversation. And if you want to join us visually, you can go to Facebook and join us live or YouTube live and type in Dr. Debbie Green. Type in Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, and you can join us live visually. We want to take a look at some issues that people struggle with every day. Are you emotionally driven in life? Do you react rather than respond to any given situation? Do you take a pause when challenged, or do you spiral out of control? The mind is a wide landscape of variations in response or teaching or in reacting to external and internal stimuli. The difference between thinking emotionally or logically is your conscious ability to make a choice quickly with precision, even in the worst of times. Join Dr. Debbie Green to discuss the matter in full and predetermine if you're living on the edge of the seat or adjusting mentally for comfort in life. Now just think about it. When was the last time you lost your temper, and who did you blame for that loss? Did you say somebody made you mad? Was it someone else's fault that you became suddenly verbally or physically abusive? Was it someone else's fault in your mind that you said something that was irretractable and unforgivable? Do you say, well, they pushed me to it, they made me do this? Are we taking responsibility for our behavior?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. How are you doing today? How's everybody doing? Welcome to Soulful Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green, and we have a wonderful lineup today, actually, a great topic that I think is really going to be very vulnerable to you. It's going to really help you to kind of look at different ways of thinking, but most of all, different ways of living. So I want you to maybe get a little pad and pencil. You may want to jot some things down that you may even learn about yourself or just learn about life. So, again, thank you. Thank you for joining us on YouTube as well as Facebook and Blog Talk. We're so excited, you know, to give this information because, again, it is much needed. So I'm going to call on my wonderful co-host, Ms. Naima Latif, our Executive Director of the Female Solutions. And here she is.
Yes, Grand Rising.
Good morning, dear. How are you?
I am fantastic, and it's such a blessing to be with us this morning on Soulful Solutions.
Absolutely.
And again, I want to remind our listening audience to, if you want to see a visual, just go to Soulful Solutions on Facebook, and there we are. And
absolutely,
of course, and you know, you can join us Facebook, YouTube, live, and type in your comments as we discuss this very important topic. I was just sharing with our listeners the fact that we blame other people when we have these fits of temper and something happens and we explode, and it's always, well, somebody made me mad or someone made me say this. And no one makes you do anything. You have to take responsibility for what you're putting in your own mind and reacting to or overreacting to, and really determine, you know, what is inside of you that's making you behave the way you behave. Don't blame somebody else. Take responsibility.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I want to do, I would love to actually help our viewers and listeners to know the difference, because sometimes we don't know the difference between an emotional response or reaction or a logical response or reaction. And, you know, of course, you know, everyone gets agitated from time to time or irritated, frustrated, you know, and that's normal. That's normal to feel those things. But what happens is, are you living on the edge of your seat of life, you know, where everything down to traffic, you know, the workplace, children, noise, anything just tips you off. You feel that, you know, you're losing control. It's hard for you to control those inner emotions, and they become either inner outbursts or outward outbursts.
Yeah.
So, you know, emotions don't always have a voice. You know, it also, I call it silent scream.
Ooh, silent scream. Yeah.
Yes, silent screams, because people don't, they think they're not there. So I want to first examine and describe the emotional mind. Okay, now the emotional mind is, we have an emotional regulator in our brain, and it responds off of fear.
Ooh.
Okay, so if you find things to be an imminent threat, down to the minute, to the pituitary gland is going to start releasing. So what happens is that most people are empaths, and they may or may not realize that they feel more so than they think. You know, they have this intuitive ability to feel anger, feel sadness. I mean, not just from themselves, but from other people. Someone can walk in a room and you will feel their energy before you realize it. Okay, so that's somewhat of what the emotional patterns that we experience. Now, that's somewhat normal because a lot of people are empaths. But what's not normal is when you find yourself feeling, again, you know, overly exerted, overly related, and it hits your nervous system, which then affects your thoughts and your feelings. And your subconscious mind then actually creates a habit of that. So now you always respond like you're in an imminent threat. You're driving down the road. You know, someone comes too close to you, or someone cuts you off, or, you know, something of that nature. And you find yourselves responding angry. I mean, not just irritated, frustrated, but angry, to where you then cut them off and shoot them the birdie and roll down your window, scream. We call it royal.
A whole big incident over one little traffic.
You notice that people are not just screaming and yelling at people. They're pulling out guns and they're shooting people.
How insane is that?
You know, and over again, just someone driving. Okay, so what's the difference between the person that loses control on, I'm just giving an example so you can understand where I'm coming from.
Oh, I've seen it
loses
happen.
Control in something of that nature, and another person says, okay, I see this person, I have a day, let me just slow down and let them have their space. What is the difference between those individuals? One is impulsive and one is not.
So is a person who overreacts in that situation, are they defining this little act of someone cutting them off in traffic as an act of disrespect or some other personal, emotional slight that they're imagining in their own minds because maybe that's what's happening somewhere else in their life and they're frustrated about that, so they're projecting that intention onto somebody who's just innocently trying to get to work and trying to change lanes so they can drive faster, but they're responding to something that's already in their own minds and projecting that on to another driver. Oh, they disrespect me. Oh, they're not going to do me like that. And then they create a conflict over somebody changing lanes in traffic. Is that because what's in their mind is some unresolved thing that they're struggling with, and so they project that belief of everybody's disrespecting me?
Correct. You're absolutely correct. It is all in their mind.
Mm.
It's not on the outside of them. It's in their mind. It is, I call it a switch, okay?
Mm.
So the switch is like they already have that internal issue, but things trigger them because, like, their trigger system is off.
Mm.
So the triggers that what we call in the psychological world, like triggers are an emotion response. So they become emotionally responsive or reactive, emotional reactive. And as they are responding emotionally, it's a switch. It's just like turning on our light switch or something like that. And it's the immediate response instead of thinking, okay, logically, if I scream out or do this or whatever, this is a chance that I may can cause an accident, or something else would happen. No, they don't think that way. They only think in the emotion that they are in, and that's extreme anger.
Mm.
Because the anger is displaced.
Displaced
anger. It's about the person
anger.
That's driving next to them. It's about what's going on inside of them. That's the switch. We, you know, again, a trigger. So when things don't go their way, when people don't do what they expect, when they feel that they are failing, anytime that switch just clicks, and then that's when they go into bits of anger. Now, that's anger. That's not talking about guilt, shame, sadness. That's just the anger emotion.
Mm.
Now, you have those primary emotions, guilt, anger, sadness, remorse, and, you know, those primary and shame. Those are the primary emotions that have major triggers in the individual. You see, and it, what it does, it stifles life. It puts a very uncomfortable feeling to this individual and to others because they are responding to, again, imminent threats. They feel that they're being threatened by their integrity. They feel disrespected. They may, they may feel taken advantage of, you know, betrayed very easily, more so than others. Others may say, okay, well, let's rationalize with this. You know, maybe it's not this, or maybe it's that. No, they don't often do that. They prejudge and they assume very quickly.
Mm.
So that's, and which then interrupts the thought process because cognitively, they cannot consciously make a choice based upon fact. They only make it on assumptions, prejudgments. You see what I'm saying?
So there are
they
people.
They don't have any facts.
So there are people who are walking around like this all the time. They're always in this state of ready to react. Always.
Yes.
Because they have this running dialogue in their mind about whatever it is they're going through. People are always mistreating me. People don't like me. People are disrespecting me. I'm not going to let anybody humiliate me or treat me badly. So everything that happens, they have this trigger in their own mind that they're reacting to, which makes sense to them but doesn't make sense to anybody else because it's like, why are you angry? Why are you upset? Why are you violent? Why, you know, because we see that all the time.
Right.
Someone suddenly gets angry and overreacts and everybody's puzzled as to what happened. Why are they overreacting? And the person, they think they're justified.
Well, again, because it's normal to them. This is what they're used to. Now everyone else can see, what's wrong? Why are you all upset? And then they'll scream, I'm not upset, but then they are. Because in their mind, they don't know. They don't know that they are on the edge. They live on the edge. You know what I'm saying? So when, you know, most of the time they need stress management and anger management to balance themselves out. But if they don't get it, they overwork their nervous system, which leads to hypertension and other chronic illnesses and also mental illness.
So mood changes actually are biochemical changes in the brain.
Correct.
And so when people are under this state of stress or on the edge, what is the chemical reaction going on in their brains, the reason why? Is it adrenaline going through their bloodstream? What is it that is just keeping them on that state of high alert where everything can be a trigger?
Well, in the normal capacity of the brain reactions to external circumstances or even internal responses is that, again, we feel imminent threat. Like, for example, if you are faced with an oncoming accident or whatever, and you're in the accident, the brain automatically releases, the endorphins as well as the adrenaline all at one time, so that you will be able to respond and, you know, have the energy to do it, and you wouldn't get zapped, because a lot of times when we are faced with any imminent threat, we lose a lot of energy right immediately. That's why the brain responses, and we send, I call it the jump juice, because that's what it is, adrenaline, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, some people are adrenaline junkies. They love, you have people skydive and jump from mountains and, you know, bungee jumping. Okay, these people love adrenaline, you know, jump juice. That's what I call it, because that's what it is. However, so what happens is, in a traumatized mind, okay, we go back to trauma. Could be from the inner child trauma, all right, or some episodic episode in their life experience that causes them to feel that they always are victimized. Oh, this has happened to me, or they could have suffered from PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, anything that puts the mind on the edge, like, you know, feeling over-exerted, expansion, cognitive understandings of, like, you know, you would, one person may look at it to be something normal, and then the next person may say, oh, my God, this thing has happened to me, you know. So in the brain, Naima, the brain and the pituitary gland releases the adrenaline, and that adrenaline then goes through the bloodstream very quickly. You see what I'm saying? But again, when a person is always feeling threatened in life by something, because in their mind, they're battling the victimization, they're battling the low self-esteem, they're battling the low self-worth because of something, a core belief that they believed when they were children. And that same core belief continues to radiate into their adult life. So now they are adults then having tantrums, and that's what happens. Then they have not yet totally grown up yet. And again, you know, some are aware and some are not aware of what is really happening. Because if you have that self-awareness to know, wow, am I reacting too quickly, or am I blowing things out of proportion? Otherwise, what you do is just constantly keep doing it. And again, you're training the brain, just like riding a bike. The subconscious, anything you do, more than one, more than two, three, four, five, six, you know, every time you respond, you are creating a behavior. So whether you realize or not, the time when you, like, when you want to slow down, your brain is flowing like a you know, a freightway train. You know what I'm saying? So now you're like, wow, I'm just so tired, because you're wearing out your nervous system, because you don't know how to pause and think before you act.
Yes, that is the issue. Not knowing how to pause. And, you know, when we go through these situations where there is a tantrum, literally grown people throwing tantrums, that can really be a stressful situation, especially for other adults who are wondering, how do we get this person back to normalcy? This is one of the things that keeps other people on edge. When you're around someone who is always upset, always at the drop of a hat having an emotional response, that becomes very difficult. And if you're that kind of person in a relationship, it's very difficult to have a relationship if you are always reacting and the other person is walking on eggshells, worrying that you may be triggered at any moment to have an episode, to either act like you're like a child with a tantrum, screaming, hollering, being upset. You know, it's very distressful when people have to be always on alert because you're the person who has issues with temper, and you're the person who is likely to explode and likely to suddenly become angry, and no one else sees it coming. It's like being blindsided. If you're that kind of personality that is easily triggered. And just think about it. If you've had a succession of relationships and maybe you were thinking it was the other person who was defective or didn't listen or didn't respond the way you thought they should respond, maybe it was not them. Maybe you might be one of these people who is still reacting to something in your own mind in such a way that your reactions have been overreactions and very difficult for others to adjust to when they never know when you may explode. It's like walking through a field of landmines, someone who is easily triggered. And so you never know where the landmine is. And there are people who are in those kinds of relationships where the person that they dearly love and may be a wonderful person, but that person is always triggered to anger. And you never see it coming. And we don't recognize it and call it abuse because over time we adjust to this person's hair trigger temper. And we may even have just learn how to manage it by either agreeing with everything they say or just doing everything they tell us or not responding when they're angry. But that takes its toll psychologically. It takes a very heavy toll psychologically when you just never know when this person may blow. It's like a volcano that could erupt at any moment, and you don't know when that volcano might explode, and so you're always on edge. And that's one of those things that you have to look at. If you're in a relationship where you're always uneasy, why is that? So we're going to be taking a break in just a moment, and then, of course, Dr. Debbie has been giving us some very deep insights on why this happens. And we most definitely have to see ourselves if we are that person who is out of control, if we are that person that is easily triggered, if we are that person who is keeping everybody else in a state of fear and distress. Because if we're that person who cusses out somebody for cutting us off in traffic, then we're dangerous. We're dangerous, and we could hurt someone. So we have to look at ourselves. Are we the one who is always having a tantrum? Are we the one who's always angry? Are we the one who's always feeling victimized? So if we are, then we most definitely need to find a way to get our self in order. We're the ones that have to decide that we want to be able to be normal. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll hear more from Dr. Debbie. Reflect. Think about it. Are you the person in that relationship that's always upset? And what are you saying to yourself that is triggering that response? We'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you're on our switchboard now, press 1. We'll come right to you after our commercial break. We'll be right back in just a few moments. So stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Going to make it in spite of it all. So we're going to go back here. Let me put Naima back on. So did you run the commercial?
Yes, we ran the commercial while I was getting my battery went down on my computer. So, yeah, I definitely kept. So we've got a couple of callers on the line, so that's great.
Let's take some callers. Yeah.
All righty. Well, area code 312-848, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question for Dr. Debbie Green.
This is Rashida. Hello?
Yes, Rashida. Now, I want to make sure we can hear you clearly, so make sure you're talking directly into your phone mic, and you might need to put on speaker just to make sure that we can hear you. Because your connection is sounding a little weak.
Okay. Can you hear me a little bit better?
That's better. Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, because a lot of times people are very adapted to situations and environments. So I was just wondering how does a person respond to training and anger management or adapting to being in an aggressive society where their emotions are triggered because of the sensitivity or whatever? how is it that human beings, especially our young adults, who are right now in a state of emotion, how do you adapt? Because it appears to me, and this is only my opinion, that it's normal now. And that's why there's so many unsolved homicides and injuries, trauma, in my opinion. So can the sister, sort of help me with that, because I need to know. So
how is it? I want to make sure we heard the question saying how do people adapt to the hostility and aggression in society? Or
not
saying,
not to adapt to it and accept it as normal, because it appears to be normal in certain communities, and then the person who doesn't have that type of thought or feelings or emotions adapt because it's normal. What's abnormal has become normal. So how does a person who doesn't yet has a little bit more understanding about how to manage their own anger and management not accept the aggression that's in their the person who is not that way is abnormal in a society that accepts or lives among that type of behavior that creates a lot of trauma and victimizes other people. Because it's normal. You know what I'm saying? It's normal for them, but it's abnormal for the person who doesn't act that way. And how do you manage your own
So how do you remain calm in the midst of a storm when around you everybody's used to acting or overreacting, always upset, always aggressive, and that's normal for them, but you don't want to be influenced by that or cause it to make you react the same way because that's not who you are. So you seek to be calm and self-controlled and self-managed even when other people are out of control.
Yeah, because
so,
what I...
Yeah, we're having a little bit of a connection issue, Rashida. But I think we have the gist of what you were asking. And, I mean, that's the goal for all of us, because all of us are subjected to people who are in various states of emotional self-control or lack of self-control. But you can always control yourself. And when you control yourself, you actually control the circumstances. But I'll let Dr. Debbie give you the
excuse me before you hang up. There's another finding. If you self-control, then it appears that they become more attacking, in my opinion, and more aggressive if you don't respond the same way that they do and you do it opposite. Then it seems like there's, in my opinion, my experience, there's a lot of hate and aggression that builds up. How do you avoid that tension in your life if you're not that way? And most people should know how they are. So how do you, I don't quite understand, because I run into that a lot, especially in the communities that I've been traveling in lately. But I don't get in any fights, but, you'd be surprised when the attack comes. You try to be okay, and then all of a sudden, you go into a shell like a turtle, and I don't like being in a shell like a turtle. So I need to know the sister's opinion, because she sounds like she's an intelligent being, and I'm thanking you for having her on, because it's helping me by listening.
So I understand what she's asking. Dr. Debbie, you want to address that?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Thank you, Rashida, for that that question. I want to help you identify some things, okay? One thing about fear,
okay.
False evidence appearing real, okay? Fear is what you see out there in the community. When you see a person act angrily, impulsively, they are responding with their emotional mind of anger. And that anger is, that's not your anger, that's their anger. But again, one does not know how to control, they don't know how to control themselves. So what happens is they spew that out in, onto you. And I want you to also self-aware if you're holding any fear inside of you, because fear attracts fear.
Yeah.
Okay? It attracts whatever we have inside of us. If we are attracting, if it's sadness, excessive sadness, we attract things to keep us excessively sad. If, you know, if we are, if anger, also anger, if, you know, we attract things to keep us angry. So these are just emotions, and emotions are energy in motion. That's what they are inside of us. So, again, you know, the difference between the person that's a logical mind, that I'm not just saying a logical mind where you're not saying anything and you're like ignoring, you know, your environment, but rationally, reasonably, logically, you are addressing these issues instead of impulsively. Because there's enough impulsive people living in the world. We can see that just by our news, social media. It lets you know how many people are killing each other, mutilating each other by words, actions. It's a lot of that out there in the world. But you, if you understand this right here, which is a biblical principle, okay, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So, therefore, you don't allow anything outside yourself to dictate what's going on the inside of yourself. You see what I'm saying? And, again, if you yourself may have some issues with stressors, issues with anger, or anything of that nature, then what it does, it feeds the fear that's inside of you. If there is a small amount of fear, it's going to feed that fear, that it will expand. And what happens whenever you encounter something of like could be an imminent threat of any kind, then that's when you're going to start feeling those apprehensive feelings that you are facing. But again, you ask yourself, you know, is it me or is it what I'm responding to? It's how I'm responding to that stimuli, because everything is a stimulus. It doesn't matter where it is. Your outside stimulus, external or environment, and then you have your inside stimulus. It's how you feel about yourself and how you are responding to the world, to your perception. So you may want to, again, examine both of those areas so that if you are responding, you know what I'm saying, to a place of imminent threat, you know, before you even get the opportunity to look at it from a logical point of view, then, you know, you may want to adjust right there. And again, sometimes what we need is redirective thought, what we call reactive thought. Reactive thought is when, again, it's dealing with emotions, and response thought is dealing with the logical mind. And you said, can we get involved and get to twine with those things all at once? Sometimes we can, but sometimes we can't, because it's easy to get angry, okay? But the problem is staying angry. That's what hurts us, is when we stay angered, and we don't know how to process that anger and release it and let it go. So those individuals that you might be running into may not know how to process their emotions, you know, and again, you may want to look at yourself, your being, and ask, am I responding to this? Am I prejudging this as an imminent threat?
I have a question.
Yes.
Because I have an associate that was telling me a story of, you know, when she went out into her garage and got robbed at gunpoint, and that was years ago, and yet there is still a heightened sense of nervousness coming out of the house to go into the garage. And I'm sure that if people have ever experienced an act of violence, then anybody's aggression can trigger fear. How does a person undo the trauma of a real memory of a physical threat, either having experienced a threat of violence or an actual act of violence that might have been precipitated by somebody's aggressive tone of voice or threat? How do you restore your sense of peace and being in control of your environment if you've experienced a time when you were taken out of control of your environment and someone did, in fact, harm you physically? That's a traumatic memory, and so it's always going to be triggered unless you can undo the trauma. How does a person undo the trauma? Is that something that they need to get therapy in order to undo that so they can once again feel empowered and not feel like
right.
a victim?
Right, because PTSD is real, because that's what you're talking about. Like you said, when she goes out into her garage, she still feels the apprehensive fear, and that's because the subconscious was traumatized by the experience. So, there are different techniques, Naima, to actually address that, and it is therapeutic, so that person would have to, you know, seek a therapist, to what they call put things back in order and how to respond. You have to respond quickly. I have this technique. It's called the 45-second rule. The 45-second rule says at any immediate threat that you may be experiencing, either a negative thought, a negative feeling, immediately, because the 45-second rule is based upon the brain only can concentrate on one thing at a time. It's not, a lot of people think their brain concentrate multitaskfully. No, we make choices multitaskfully,
mm-hmm.
which then creates decisions, which then create occurrences. But the brain can only make in one choice at a time, meaning that on a if it's a thought pattern. Like if I'm thinking, for example, if I'm having a thought pattern of negative thoughts or whatever, now I can continue to think that negative thought as belief, as reality. So what the brain is going to do is give me more of that negative thought.
Mm-hmm.
So when I immediately feel threatened, and I've done this before, in a thought process, I have to shift immediately within 45 seconds. Like, no, wait a minute, where am I? I'm okay, I'm safe. You know, and then go, and then acknowledge whatever I'm feeling, but then put it back in a perspective there within 45 seconds. And you say, well, that's a short period of time. No, it's not. That's the length of a commercial.
Yeah.
It's actually, I mean, commercials can be 30 seconds to 45 seconds long. You see what I'm saying? You know,
right.
And on a television screen. You know what I'm saying? So it's enough time for you to like, okay, all right, so I'm feeling unsafe, so what should I do about this? Okay, I no longer want to feel unsafe, so I need to, you know, maybe take a walk, or I need to listen to some music. I mean, anything you can do to divert the mind.
To trigger a different thought.
Right, right. If you're not able to divert the mind with a tangible thing, then again, you in your inner thought, you say, I'm safe from all harm, and use a mantra like, oh, I got this, oh, this too will pass. You know what I'm saying? Any mantra would do to cue the brain, and you have to do that every time you feel that way. You know what I'm saying? Because PTSD, if it's not like a daymare, because those are daymares, when your eyes are wide open.
A daymare. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the daymares because you re-experience.
You're re-experiencing a trauma.
And the thought pattern.
So let me ask Rashida this question.
Is when doing it nighttime.
Yes, and we all have had nightmares where it got so bad. Sometimes your subconscious mind will say, "No, I don't. I'm not going to continue this," and you will wake yourself up because it's so bad.
Some people do.
Some people do. Some people can't.
They got
yeah.
They got severe PTSD.
Yeah, they can't
they
do
can't.
It. So Rashida. Right.
Yes.
So Rashida, are you having difficulty, like say if you're in a grocery store and you know, somebody starts talking loud, like they're having an argument with a cashier or something, or an argument with you if you're standing in line and they get in front of you in line and there's an argument about it. Does that kind of a situation create anxiety in you? Like, okay, the more calm I am, the more they're hollering. How do I handle this so that I'm not feeling distressed like they might commit an act of violence? Is that what you're kind of asking? Like, how do I maintain calm when other people are?
Mine is different. My reaction is normally when I'm at peace with myself, for example, I have things of the incident, and like
she don't know what we're gonna do about your phone, but we can't hear you. It's just like you're talking underwater. Is there anything you can hear your sound?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes.
Hello.
Yeah,
okay,
we can hear you now.
I said, I have dreams. For example, if something happened and that was traumatizing to me, it comes back to me in a dream. Like, for example, about a week ago, I had a dream of an incident. It was so live and real. And when I woke up, I had pulled a whole fist full of my own hair out of my head. And I know it felt sort of funny. And I looked on the floor and I had pulled it out of my head while I was sleeping, threw it on my floor. And then the other experience I have, but what helps me deal with when I'm not asleep, is a saying of Muhammad. It says, be quick to anger, quick to anger and fast to slow down. I mean, something to that effect. So
I know the quote. If you're quick to anger, be quick to cool down.
So that helps me. But my trauma is normally when I'm sleeping, when I have pretty hair, I have a face on myself. I love my own hair. I pulled out a whole fist. It's like, I'll wait till it's gone because I had a dream of the police who tried to rape me about 10 years ago. And
you're still traumatized.
You're
still
and I dream about it. Yeah. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I know I was fighting in my sleep, but I thought I was just dreaming. When I woke up, a whole ball of my hair lying on the floor. So it only comes on me badly when I'm restful. When I encounter an experience, I usually, you know, get fretful about it. Or when there's a recurring experience, I get fretful. But then, you know, consciously I said, well, there's nothing that you can do about it. Or like, for example, I rationalized the killing of my grandson. I said, I know he's a good guy, he's innocent, victim, he was an angel, so therefore, I know Almighty God got him, that he went straight to paradise. That's how I deal with the trauma of the unsolved homicide of my grandson. But I still have that feeling. And then when I look at the news or something, recently, it seemed like every time I go outside, I'm either seeing somebody dead, and this is not a bad community, or hearing about it. So I reflect back emotionally on it, but then I instantly say, you know, reciting in my mind a paragraph or scripture. But mine's usually, I can't control it when I'm sleeping. It's not when I'm in a crowd, because I can, you know, sort of deal with it. I don't accept it. I can deal with it because I know I can remove myself from that situation. Or if somebody makes me angry, I know how to get away from them and don't let them influence me to become the same way. But I cannot deal with when I'm sleeping and dreaming of it. And now it's getting bad because I'm pulling my own hair out of my own head. So that's the problem.
Well, thank you, Rush.
I did go to a therapist. I did a holistic therapist, and they have clinical services, and they're so good that you can use your insurance, your Medicare. So I'm at that stage now of helping myself.
Well, you know, Rashida, and of course Dr. Debbie can respond with a more clinical analysis, but what I feel is that your subconscious mind is telling you you need to address the trauma and resolve it because it's not going to go away by itself. You're going to need some assistance with that. This is a very traumatic thing to have gone through, and then the repeated trauma of having someone who is supposed to be in a position to help actually be the one who threatens your safety, your security, your threatens to violate your body, all of those things. It was a deeply traumatic experience, and your subconscious mind seems to be prompting you to address it and heal from that trauma because it's not going to leave until you do. That's what it seems to me your subconscious mind is telling you by giving you those dreams.
Well, the Lyle Center, as I said, they have psychiatrists, and they're holistic. They're from my same religious group. And before, when I had a trauma, a sister was trying to get her PhD, and I was her client, whatever you might call it. So I have to deal with self because I can't nobody else deal with me. If I listen to other people, I'll be cracky as a cuckoo bird other than those who really know what they're talking about. Because people can be very painful. You tell them that, you know, you have an emotional problem or an incident that's traumatizing, and then they try to label you. I have had people that I work with that's cuckoo as a bird, but they gonna call me crazy when I express to them my emotions about my injuries. And then things like in some community, they like pour salt in the wound. So what I asserted myself to do, not just to help myself, but both me, is enrolled in the clinic process with professional holistic psychiatrists and psychologists. Because after pulling my hair out, I knew internally that was too much emotion, and I'm doing damages to me now in my sleep, so that's harmful. So I'm scheduled to start attending, and then as I grow, those in my community that's killing and other things like that, each other, have the opportunity too, because we're going to offer it online, and these people are professional. That's why I like the sister you have, because she was motivational, and I'm going to tell her thank you very kindly for your help. And you too, sister. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rashida. We appreciate you so much. We're going to take a break in a few minutes. But, you know, I would say this, that if you are going through anxiety and you know that there's a recurring problem, therapy is the solution, but a therapist is just like a carpenter or a plumber. You have some that are good and some that are not so good, you know, and they all might have their license, but you look at the results and you look at, you know, how's it making you feel, because therapy ultimately restores the sense of wholeness if you feel broken, and when you've been violated, you feel broken. So a therapist shouldn't make you feel even more broken. That's not the purpose. It's like a plumber who's fixing a leak shouldn't come and then you got even more water squirting out of the pipes and causing damage to your property. So, you know, choose wisely. And, you know, Dr. Debbie, of course, I'm sure you've got the information on the screen. For those who are listening, you can tell them how they can contact your office. And set up a session, because a lot of people are walking around with injuries that we can't see, and they need help.
Yes, that's so true. Absolutely. I just, again, trauma is one of those things that it lies deep down inside us, and every cell of our body remembers the trauma. So if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you.
That is true.
And it will live through you.
That's true. It doesn't go away.
Because it's alive and breathing. It is not going to go away until you find out what it's attached to. And that's a root.
Yeah.
Whatever it's attached to, and deal with that root. Deal with it, handle it, settle it, finalize it, pull it up, remove it, so that that trauma can dissipate in your being.
Yes.
Otherwise, we need to continue to with it. That's the way it works.
Yes.
We gotta go to a commercial.
Yes, and we'll be right back. So if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. We've got a couple more hands raised on the switchboard. We'll come to you after the break. And, of course, that email to contact Dr. Debbie is soulfulsolutions77@gmail.com. That's soulful, S-O-U-L-F-U-L, solutions77@gmail.com. Email her. And
we'll gladly help. Absolutely.
Don't anytime.
We'll gladly help you. If you also need training on anything, anger management, stress management, for your job, for yourself, anything of that nature, for your group, please feel free to contact me.
Absolutely. That's
you
why we're here. Yes. All right. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Right, we are back.
Welcome back. Yes, welcome back to Soulful Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green. Thank you for joining us on my wonderful co-host, Naive Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. Can we take those callers, please?
Yes, we can. Got to take you all in this order, so hold on. 773-737-312-671 and 312-366. So hold on, and anybody else on our switchboard that wants to press 1, go ahead and do so, and we'll get to you as well. So 773-737, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers. Well, and y'all, shalom. This is Mama
yes.
D from Chicago.
Yes, hallelujah. Greetings, hallelujah. Mama D. We'll be hearing you this Saturday.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Looking to some more wisdom with Mama D.
The two traumas I want to talk about happened in front of my daughter when she was about 5 and 6 years old. She saved my life during the second incident because I was trying to save my brother's life and prevent him from knifing my other brother in the back when he wasn't aware. Okay. Let me start with the first one. My daughter and I were just casually walking down the street, and I had my purse wrapped around my arm, and we was just walking. And this man came up, and he grabbed my purse, and I was so startled. You know, I didn't know what was happening, you know. I don't know if it was that 45 seconds or that 45 seconds. I don't know. But I didn't know what was happening. And then he grabbed my purse, and I had it wrapped around my wrist, my arm. And the next thing I know, he was running with the purse and me too. And one of my arms was on the sidewalk. It immediately got scraped to the bone, the arm that was hanging down, because he was dragging me and the purse.
Oh,
And I'm looking backwards, and I'm seeing my daughter, and she's like, what do I do? Where do I run? What's happening? And so then I unwrapped my arm from the purse, you know, and he kept on running, and I'm on my back on the sidewalk looking at my daughter. Now, it was like she was like in a freak out mode, and I'm only seeing her because he's got one arm up in the air, and he's running with that arm that's got that purse in it, and this other arm is dangling on the sidewalk, and I'm looking backwards on my back at my daughter. So then I quickly unwrapped my arm from the purse strap. The guy kept on running, and then I was able to comfort my daughter. It was just in freak out mode. She was about 5 years old. Now the other time, I was
your daughter was 5 years old. You say?
Yeah, she was about 5 years old then.
Oh my!
And as soon as I realized, you know, what was happening, and saw her and treat myself, then I was able to just comfort her, and we comfort each other, and that sort of the way that went. And the other time, my brother from Vietnam had not slept for about 3 days. I don't know what he was high on. You know, a lot of the veterans came back with marijuana addictions and stuff. So anyway, yeah, he was in the bathroom. It was all from the kitchen. And I was helping my mother fry potatoes. And I was cutting the potatoes up, and this knife was razor sharp. And I was peeling the potatoes with this razor sharp knife. And he was talking to my brother from the bathroom to the kitchen, and my mother was there. And my brother said to him, "Oh, man, I don't want to fight you." And he walked away. And when he walked away, my brother came out of the bathroom, and he picked up that knife. I was cutting potatoes with that knife. I knew how sharp it was. And he drew back the knife, and he went after my brother, going to knife him in the back. When he went after while he had his back turned and he was just walking away, I jumped up from the chair, from the table, and I stepped in between. And I said, you don't want to do that. And then the next thing I know, he had me by the throat. That's why I talk so hoarse right today.
Oh,
and
my.
Like damaged vocal cords. One is a lot smaller than the other one. So he grabbed me. I done jumped in between them. So he, I guess through the grace of Almighty God, I don't know what happened to the knife. I guess he dropped it. But he grabbed me by the throat, and here he was dragging me from the kitchen to the bedroom to the living room to down a flight of stairs. He still got me by the throat backwards. I guess these backward acts help me all the time.
Oh,
you
know, he's looking back.
And he got me by the throat, and I'm going down the stairs backwards on my back because he has me by the throat, and he's in, from the kitchen, as I said, from the kitchen to the bedroom to the living room, and now I'm on the second floor still being held by the neck. And then we end up on the front porch. My mother, everybody is there freaking out. Let her go. Let her go. She is doing it. Saying, "Oh, my God, let her go. Please, let her go." And then they're freaking out because they're not doing anything. My daughter had just gotten her two front teeth, the big one. And she came up while I'm being killed, murdered in front of everybody. She came up and she grabbed his arm and she took those new great big front teeth that she had and she bit into that arm.
Wow. Wow. Mama D, you your life needs to be a movie. I mean, this is wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How old was she? She wasn't that old. She was, what, about 6 or 7? I know when you get your two front teeth,
yeah,
it's not that old.
Yes, that got her two front teeth. So she was about 6 years old then. And
wow.
He bit into that arm, and he let me go. And I couldn't say a word. He just choked the sound out of me. I could not say that one word. But it wasn't until this morning that I connected those dots and was able to say, now the first time she saw me being attacked and on that sidewalk being pulled by the robber, she was just, you know, always going around in circles, just horrified.
Yeah.
And I was able to see that look on her face of, what do I do? What do I do? But the second time, there was no hesitation on her part.
Yep.
Everybody.
Not letting nobody drag my mother again. That's it. You're right. You're right. That first trauma, she said, that'll never happen again. She stepped in, and with her new teeth, she made him let you go.
His arm and he let me go.
Wow.
And my brother had left the house. He never even knew that my brother was going after his back. With
and he
that
didn't.
Knife.
He stepped in to save his life.
He left the premises, and he was gone. He wasn't. He wasn't even there while all of this was going on.
Wow.
Because he just was leaving the scene, man. I don't want to fight with you and I, you know. So he wasn't even there around to see what the aftermath was.
Well, did he ever? I'm sure he found out what happened later.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. That's another thing. We don't talk about incidents like that. We're just glad that they're over. And it's not like you revisit it or have another talk about, oh, well, you know, if you hadn't did this or that, there was never any conversation about that with my mother or my sister that was both there on the porch seeing what was happening, freaking out but not doing anything. Let her go, let her go, let her go wasn't happening. So when my brother stepped up and sunk those two new front teeth in his arm,
wow,
as hard as she could,
that made him let you go. Wow.
Right. And this is what I just like to ask the question. You know, it's just like with the Tulsa trauma that the children experience. It's like. It's some words in a song that says memories, things too painful to remember. You simply choose to forget. And I know that first near death experience I had when this man, after robbing me, home invasion, decided that to tell me to suck it. And when I felt that liquid on my hand, to this day I don't know if it was semen or if it was urine, but I jerked my hands back, and that was it. And when he hit me with the back of the knife in my side hard enough to cut me, then I just came to the realization, you're gonna die right here on your sofa in front of your altar, and there's nothing you can do about it. And then I became eerily calm. I mean, it was that calm that really surpasses our understanding. It really does. And I was just as calm as could be, and I looked up in his face. No, first of all, I said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Because I was, this is it. He didn't hit me with the back of the knife and cut me, so he didn't make a believer out of me. So I just might as well surrender, and what is going to be my last words? And I don't know. I don't recommend anybody have to have a near-death experience to come to that. But my last words were, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when I said those words, the voice that came out of my mouth was not directed by my brain. I had nothing to do with that voice that came out, but that voice looked up into his face and said, do you really think you have my life in your hands? Well, he pulled up his pants and decided to steal the VCR off top of the big screen. And at that point, he still had the knife. Oh, I don't want to go into that whole episode that
was. Another trauma. You've gone through multiple traumas.
But,
I mean, multiple traumas that you have had.
That's exactly what that is.
But, you know, one thing, that particular incident, and I think it points to what happens to us spiritually when the fear of death is removed, all fear is removed. Because that's really what our anxiety is always about. We're afraid of physical violence. We're afraid of physical death. We're afraid of the experience of pain. But once all of that is gone, there's nothing anyone can do to you. And that's the power that we have. Once we have no fear of death, there's absolutely nothing anyone can threaten us with. And so therefore, There is no fear. That's spiritually what happens when you go through that. You describe it as a near-death experience, but that is, in fact, what happens when a realization comes to you that really no one has the power of life and death, because there is no death. Your soul is eternal. So there's really nothing anybody can really do to you. And the peace that comes over you at that point, it's unshakable. And at that point, you have no fear of anything ever again, because you realize on a soul level, there's nothing anyone has the power to do to you.
Absolutely.
So that's a tremendous experience to have.
It really is amazing. It is amazing kind of grace that is just beyond. You're in another dimension.
Yes.
It's peaceful. It's glorious, and it's just it really is. It's awesome. And I had that same experience on Saturday before last, on February 11th.
Oh yeah, with the car accident.
Yes, the car accident. I saw this car out of the side of my eye. It was coming. I was at Elkhill Road, 271st Street, the street where I conceived the idea and wrote the ordinance for Emmett Till Road. And when Rosa Parks came out to the street dedication, she said it was what happened to Emmett that gave her the courage to do what she did. And his legacy had been buried for 30 years up to that time. And Elkhill Road resurrected that legacy of Till that had been buried for 30 years. But anyway, that's where the accident happened.
Mm.
Elkhill Road in Damon. And so the car, I saw it, I'm out in the street, and I saw this car, I mean, with tremendous speed, and I started to brake. And you know, when you're braking with all your might, the van, it's a van, so it wasn't swerving or anything, and the brakes, those wheels wasn't screeching. But I was in brake down to the floor mode and sort of stiffing back. And so what she did was she hit the front of my car. But if I hadn't have been braking and in stiff mode, I would have probably had hip whiplash going forward and back, but I was already in this stiffened mode when she hit. Now, she took off my fender with both lights, headlights, and license attached.
Mm.
She just sliced it right on off from the radiator, and that was a little dent, like on the radiator, but she just sliced the whole portion off. Now, I'm sitting there behind the wheel, and that calm, that undescribable peace, that's how I knew. I said, oh, I know what that was. Because had I not braked, she would have hit me in the door side.
That probably would have been an instant fatality.
I wouldn't be having this conversation today, because that door side would have, she was going so fast. And what happened to her car was after she sliced off all the bumper and fender and headlights with the license attached, her car spent completely around, and she ended up on a flat tire.
Wow.
She was traveling that far, and her car was undrivable because now she's on a flat. And I'm sitting there behind the wheel with this awesome grace, In the presence of that grace, that just peace, that surpasses all
comprehension. You know, you've almost experienced death, you know, almost experienced a fatal crash. And I think when people have experienced that, when you're actually faced with this is the end, something happens where your soul just takes over and you realize that, well, that happens okay. You know, and there's nothing to fear anymore.
You realize that you're in good hands.
Yeah.
And that peace is so outside of the normal realm of life experience that you know what it is. I'm going to have almost as many lives as Minister Robert Floyd Trump. You know? But
you know,
I wanted to ask, why is it that now I'm talking about it and everything, but the old way of thinking was, oh, well, that's over. Shut your mouth. Don't talk about it. Just forget it. And this is the kind of advice that you used to get from people until we started having all these mass shootings. And then people said, no, talk. Talking gets it out. Let that person talk. But the old way of thinking was, oh, no, forget that. That's
don't
over
talk.
With. You still
yeah.
talking about that? And
right.
the only therapy that you really get is talking and having somebody listen to you tell what happened. Like
right.
I told you about what happened last
right.
Saturday
right.
on the 11th.
Yes. Yeah, and that I mean that was a trauma as well. Almost getting hit, you know, that's a memory. Like Dr. Debbie's saying, every experience is recorded in every cell of your body. So even if people don't let us talk about it, it's not forgotten. It's never forgotten. So Dr. Debbie, she brought out a major point, because in our culture we tend not to discuss, first of all, violence in the home. Everybody's like, don't tell your business. So you got all these domestic violence things happening right now in people's homes that the children aren't allowed to talk about. We have things that happen to us, and we're supposed to not talk about it, as if we mention it, you know, okay, if you don't talk about it, it'll go away. But it doesn't, like Rashida's saying, you got dreams, your mind won't let you forget. So what do we need to do to change that culture of don't talk about the traumatic things that have happened, so that people can know that they should talk about it and not let it get bottled up until it explodes?
Absolutely, because, you know, as the culture that we literally grew up in is, you know, hush, don't tell. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to worry your grandmother. I don't want to worry your auntie or whatever the case may be. But what they really didn't realize is what trauma does to the human being, you know what I'm saying? So, again, trauma, again, creates fear. Fear is a magnetic force that is literally inside of us that attracts other things that keeps us in fear. And I don't think, and like you said, you know, I heard, one of you said, you know, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And what that is that your logical mind, which God has given you, had then kicked in automatically. You see what I'm saying? Because of the fear that you were experiencing, you see what I'm saying? It totally transitioned. And that means you have a healthy, what they call a healthy subconscious. Everyone doesn't have a healthy subconscious, even though they might have, again, experienced fear. And I can clearly see that you definitely experienced a lot of traumatic episodes in your life. So the subconscious was like, okay, here we go again. Let's do this. You see what I'm saying? So it was, but the vividness which you described, you will never forget that, because you just roll tape. You just roll tape. So,
yeah,
when we roll tape, it automatically comes back. So if we're ever in an area, like if, for example, if parents know that their children or even themselves might experience trauma, it's good to talk about trauma. It's good to talk about the things that you experience, because all of those suppressed emotions that are around that trauma get exposed, get the opportunity to come out of your being. You know what I'm saying? If, you know, some people don't want to admit, oh, my goodness, I was in the jail. I was looking down. I was this, I was that. Yeah, you know, after the fact, you see what I'm saying? Some people are like, okay, well, I got over it. It's okay. I'm fine. So I don't want to talk about it no more. I don't want to touch it no more. But then what happens sometimes, and it's not all the time, but what happens sometimes, we experience enough trauma, and then if that other trauma is not settled, it then erupts with that present trauma. And that's what causes us to kind of spiral out of control and it interrupts our sleep patterns. It interrupts how we eat. It interrupts how we, our mood changes from one point to another point, these things like that. So if, for those who are listening, the symptomatic orders of trauma unsettled is going to be interrupted sleep, insomnia, sleep deprivation, okay? Sleep deprivation, even unhealthy appetites as well. The being will let you know when it's not settled. Chronic pain is another. Fibromyalgia, that right there, they call it the trash can chronic illness because they don't know where it comes from. I truly think it came from instilled trauma that has not been settled. And that has affected the nervous endings of that individual so tremendously to the point where it constantly gives them physical body pain.
Wow.
Well, could I just say this? The trauma turns into a testimony because it's such a glorious experience after you come out until you just want to share it with somebody. So I guess that is the human goal of the soul is to turn that trauma into a testimony because he who testifies is greater than he who witnesses.
I like that. All right. We got to take our last break. Thanks so much for sharing that story, Mama
Thank
D.
You. Yes.
Yes. And we'll be right back. Got a couple more callers on the line. Going to get you. Hold on just one moment. And we'll be right back after this last break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Community and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
My name is Dr. Debbie Green. We're at the top of our hour here with my wonderful go. Listen, my people, come on. Same with Tiff, Isaiah, the producer of the Female Solution. So did we have any more callers, or we were pretty much done with
it? Yeah, we got a couple more callers.
Okay.
I'm going to take you in this order, 312-671 and 773-450. And anybody else on our switchboard that has a thought they'd like to share or a question for Dr. Debbie, please press 1. So 312-671, your mic is open. Go ahead, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question for Dr. Debbie Green.
We are on Yad Shalom, Ahura. We don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful. And with some black education and power, with the miracle going on with the Female Solution, I am Robert Floyd Plump, Chicago, Illinois. And I am happy, I am healthy, and I am wealthy, and I am wise that the Female Solution is the world's greatest blog radio station and TV I ever seen or heard anywhere in the world. And it's not second to anyone. It is always number one. And Dr. Debbie Green, Mayor Washington used to say, if you got it, you got it. So I just want to thank you today for, you know, having the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of the human being, and especially our people. And to be a part of the Female Solution is a way of life that everybody needs this. You know, the response to the world is everybody responds to either need, greed, or curiosity. So I thank the Lord God that Yahshua, who most know as Jesus Christ, is a black man, and like us, is and I'm my brother's keeper, and I'm my sister's keeper. And I'd like to just say thank you for all that you have done in helping to be a part of this Female Solution and being a part of my life, too, and being a part of the solution. Because I know PTSD is real, as you say. And I am a miracle. Mama D, introduced her, Mama D Love, and also Sister Rashida to the Female Solution and others too.
But thank
I
you.
Just want to say thank you again, and we are in it to win for being a part of we, us, and our solution. So God bless you, and God, I wouldn't even be able to say nothing. I've had a couple of miracles of more than double, triple in my life. Mama D said, like a human being, a man with nine, like a cat that got nine lives, I done seen those kind of miracles in my life and more. And I know that you are a miracle, and Sister Naima Latif. God bless your heart. Keep up the good work, and I'm going to let somebody else get on next.
All right. Well,
hallelujah.
Thank you. We appreciate those words of encouragement and upliftment. Yes, and keep on living. You got some more lives to go, so keep on. All right. 773-450. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question for Dr. Debbie Green.
Good morning, holy greetings, and grand risings to everybody today.
Grand rising.
I second the Plum's motion that what would we do without the CDL solution in the morning? You skip over GMA and all those other national programs to really get involved in something.
The global one. Yeah. We talking to the world every day.
Right.
Thank you so much. Yes. We are excited to be with you every day.
There's two things. One is about the trauma. So trauma, it's really serious because, I mean, when you have, like, I remember once the 4th of July, I had visited a friend of mine, and I was outside in the car at night. Well, a police officer pulls up beside me. He's drunk, staggering. He pulls a gun out after me. When he just comes out the car, I'm in my vehicle. He's thinking I might be breaking into a car at his man. And if it hadn't been for my girlfriend on the porch saying, hey, leave him alone, he lives here. A drunk officer might have fired at me. So that's just one incident of, unfortunately, many where I've actually been shot at. So it could be traumatic because say, for instance, like my purpose, my name's Obadiah, so I'm a servant, a messenger of the Most High. So we go anywhere we need to go to help. Bulls on the ground, all the way up to those that are supposed to be in higher places. But the point is, for me, I can't step out there in fear. And they shoot so much nowadays, just shooting people in the head, standing in the car and all this. I remember of New Year's Eve when I was coming home from work one night. And I used to work at the airport. So I would come home. This is midnight. So I'll wait 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock, they'll stop shooting. And I'm getting off a bus, walking the last 3 or 4 blocks home. And these people are still shooting, making me target practice for New Year's Eve. And there I am zigzagging through the street, running and laughing like it's funny, which is insane just to think I was doing that. But in that type of neighborhood, it also reminds me of Beirut when they say, oh, you better have trauma for living in these dangerous neighborhoods. But I say all that just to say, you have to bear up on this some type of way, even when it seems insane. But the reality of it is that it's trauma that traumatizes other people, and it's the way you're going to react to it that makes the difference all along. I'm standing on a platform one night. Cars are driving. This is a summer night. We had a birthday party, a friend, and they dropped me off and stayed at the train station at 1 in the morning. And these guys are driving down the expressway, going about 80 miles an hour. Behind the driver, in the back, behind the driver, they pulled the window down, and then they shot at me. Had I lot went to the left and to the right, I wouldn't be talking to you today. But he shot an automatic weapon that sprayed somewhere between 18 and 24 bullets.
Oh, that's horrible.
So he wasn't. This was some type of initiation piece.
Mm.
I was told one way, which seemed silly at the time. I just humored the spirit and went that way. But when the bullets started flying, I could have literally just reached out and touched the bullet because they were binging all around me. I just froze. And I'm just saying it because when they went by me and I stopped to think, wow, I could have just been taken in a hair's breadth. And it's so fast, you don't even have a chance to think about it. It's like a movie in slow motion. But no bullet touched me because I'm still talking as we're speaking. But nonetheless, I'm just saying that could have traumatized me. But every day I step out here in this existence every night to deal with people that are from the bottom up. And you can't have a fear. You have to be strong and know that you're there for a purpose. It's as if I have a hedge around me. So that no harm will come to me because I'm out there trying to do some good to help someone else. You know, a lot of times you think about, they talk about biblical times, there was a leprosy camp. And who wanted to go to the leprosy camp to help the lepers out? You might get leprosy. But they had people who raised their hand and said they were going to go anyway. Just like when Harriet Tubman would take a group to Canada. Everybody's celebrating because they made it. And then Harry is asking the other people, how many of y'all going back down here so we can get some more? And I felt like I would have been one of those whose hands shot up, like, we got to go back there and free as many people as we can, even if it's going to cost me my life.
Wow.
You have to do it. And that's how it was. A lot of times people don't realize the sacrifices and the bridge that people create for them that they know nothing about because somebody's dedicated to making sure we get across. If you have to carry them sometimes.
That's right. That's right. You know, that's a powerful story, Obadiah. And one thing I think helps people get to that point of fearlessness, when you realize you're going to be here until it's your time to go. And when it's your time to go, it's your time to go.
Yes.
And so until that time, you're going to live, and you're going to live fearlessly. And that's what our soul is here to learn, that lesson. Live until it's your time. And you're not told when your time is, so you won't be focusing on it. So you can go ahead and do the work you came here to do.
Love casts out fear.
Absolutely.
That's the only reason I'm out there anyway, because that person might not get through. You know, somebody has to go back and get the one lost sheep.
Everybody else can move ahead,
but there's got to be somebody strong enough to get the last one and swoop them in. But here's the other thing I was going to mention was that it came up from a friend of mine. Sometimes it's an energy thing, too. Certain people you shouldn't even be in contact with because of their spirit and not being positive. So I had remembered I invited a friend to check on a program that some ministers are saying, but because I knew one of the ministers personally, I relayed a personal story about how they had borrowed money twice from a friend of mine, never paying it back. And the minute I said that, my other friend said, don't be giving me nothing from them. If a minister has no integrity, I don't want to hear nothing from them. So what I'm saying is, oftentimes we'll think that we're doing something. We have to be careful about who we're entertaining, even with our spirit and our time. You have to be very selective. You just can't. I call myself a specialist, but you have to be selective in who you're dealing with, because everybody doesn't mean you any good.
That is true. Well, you know, Obadiah, and I think that's another thing, and thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today. I think that's another thing, like you mentioned, we're magnets, and you're going to attract to you the people who reflect who you really are on the inside. And when you know somebody it doesn't vibe with your spirit, step away. You know, if you know you're not an angry, aggressive person, don't keep company with somebody who, you know, they're always creating that energy of anger and upset. Or, you know, you're with somebody who's extremely fearful and, you know, it's like they're attracting the very thing that you don't want to happen, you know, which is, you know, somebody's act of violence or some, you know, robbery or whatever. We have to be in a state of peace. And that is the magnet that attracts the experiences that are peaceful. But whatever you are on the inside, you're going to always see a reflection of it on the outside. That's why I think, and Dr. Debbie, I guess is what we've been saying, when you've been traumatized, that's inside of you. You got to heal that, because you don't want to keep attracting experiences that traumatize you until you heal from the trauma. I think that's what even our souls want us to do, is to heal from trauma. So we're going to keep re-experiencing things until we master that state of peace of mind where we're not able to be emotionally upset and triggered all the time. We're here to master that and be at a state of peace all the time, regardless of what else is happening outside of us.
That is very true. And again, you know, we release with words. I think people just assume that you can go through a traumatic event and forget about it and not talk about it and think that it's just going to go poof and go, you know, go away. But it doesn't work that way. We release in words. We release in giving our being permission to let it go. You know, I do this... I created this back in 2013. It's called Life Cycle Analysis. And what it does is I take the person into an array of looking at the traumas of their life from childhood, as early as they can remember, up to the present. And again, this is not something a person does like immediately. You have to build yourself up inwardly to do that. Because a lot of people think they're strong until they face their trauma head on.
Mm.
And you literally speak to it in first person, like whoever wronged you, whatever abuse you might have had, and, you know, dealing with people, especially people. We found that the rape victims suffer from PTSD, or, you know, even Vietnam vets might have, you know, had to, you know, take someone's life and felt a traumatized issue in that. Trauma can occur in any different type of situation. You have mild, moderate, or severe traumas. So, but to speak to those traumas in first person and allow yourself to speak to your abuser or someone that might have hurt you or whatever, you know, even though that person might have been passed and gone, or you have no way of checking that person, that stop you from speaking, because there is a suppressed word, action inside you, emotion in you that has not been said. So when you address those things and you allow yourself to say, you know, I am saying you did this to me, and this is what I felt about what you did to me, and I am saying this now. And, you know, you go into, again, speaking in first person. After you speak in first person, then you start to releasing. I choose to release it from my heart, from my mind, from my soul, from my spirit. And I am forgiving myself as well as I forgive the person that hurt me. When you speak those words out loud, then that trauma, that fear of that trauma, then dissipates, because it has to, because it's no longer inside of you. Because I think, again, people think they walk with this physical body, Naima, that the energy that's in this physical body is not affected by our lives, but it is. It is. We hold what is called soul scarring. So soul scarring happens from trauma, from trauma. That trauma is anything, any action, anything that happens that disrupts the normalcy of life. Someone can have a traumatized event in a grocery store. Okay, let's look for it really quick at those individuals that survived trauma when someone had a mass killing.
Yes.
Those individuals will never be the same until they get very in-depth, intensive therapy to live out their lives. You know, I actually talked to one of the survivors of the Charleston massacre there at the church. If you were some years ago, with the nine individuals that was murdered, and she survived. She survived. She was the one that the young man pointed the gun and said, "I'm going to allow you to live to tell the story."
Wow, that is insane.
She survived.
That is insane.
She survived.
How is she? I mean, trauma-wise, how is she?
She won't talk about it. She won't. And
she's
affected about it. But it's like she says that when it first happened, it, you know, it was so, she was so emotionally shocked to the point where, you know, she couldn't function for a period of time, and she's an older person, you know, and, you know, since, you know, she leaned on her faith to keep her. But as I told her, I said, God is the one that nurtures and he soothes the soul, but we are the one that makes the choice to also do the same. You know, we have to do our part too. You know, again, you know, we think that it, everything just goes poof and it's gone. But again, these are energies that you felt in that moment. These are mental experiences. They don't often just dissipate. They come out in different things, you know. And we're stronger than what we are, and because God has created us to be strong. You know, like he was saying, Obadiah was saying that, you know, it's one person that's strong enough to go back and get that last sheep. Okay, what is the difference between that person and a person that left and never came back? And that word is trauma.
Yes.
It's trauma. How do we deal with it? How is it? How can we look at it from a broader perspective, even in our black culture? Look how much trauma we experienced in the 1800s, in the 1500s. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So do we think, out of all of that trauma that was experienced that we will never experience, but guess what? It's in the bloodline. The only way to battle trauma and to win over trauma is to speak to trauma.
You must speak.
You have to speak to it. You literally have to speak to it verbally out loud and let it know, you will not use fear to control my life ever again.
So not speaking about something that happened actually holds it inside of you so that it never goes away. So in order to get rid of it, you must speak.
You have to speak, because again, there's words and emotions associated with the trauma that was not said. That was not said. And people experience trauma every single moment of the day.
And I think about
somebody right now is experiencing
going through
trauma.
And And I think about how people tell children don't talk about things, and that's the worst thing you can do is not let them talk, not let them express what they're feeling, you know, not let them cry.
Yeah.
You know, you have to express the emotion when something has affected you, because if it gets bottled up, and then we know that, like you said, it manifests in physical ailments. The negative energy gets settled in your body, in the cells in your body. And it causes the physical manifestation of that trauma.
Of sickness.
Sickness.
Of sickness. And that's it. What else can it do? It's still inside. So it causes toxicity inside of us. You know, if you understand the workings of the brain releases adrenaline. Adrenaline turns into cortisol. Cortisol turns into free radicals. Free radicals taint the blood and causes sickness.
Mm.
And if every time, if you don't, again, adrenaline is only responses to fear. Trauma is fear. If the trauma is still in the mind, if it's still in the physical being, it's going to continue to release adrenaline, whether you realize it or not. That's what causes hyperpression.
Yeah.
That's what causes, you know, diabetes. Because think about it, the body is a fine-tuned working machine.
Yes.
It's a fine-tuned working machine. So to communicate with your being, you have to communicate with it. What does it need? It does not just need food and water. It needs resolve.
Yes. Resolve the trauma. Resolve the trauma.
Yeah, you have to resolve. Speak to your being, mind. What's going on with the mind? What's going on with the heart? The heart is the one that holds the issues. And the issues of life flow out of it every single moment of the day. So what's really going on? What blocks the heart and mind from communicating? Fear.
Mm.
It blocks it. So if the heart cannot settle the issues of life, what do you think is going to happen? It's just going to keep expanding.
Yeah.
You know, I truly believe stress is and trauma is one of the leading causes to heart disease.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Any doctor tell you stress kills, where do you think stress comes from? Trauma.
That's right.
Mild, moderate, severe.
Right. And it's not what happened to you, it's how you respond to what happens to you. It's how you think about what happens to you. That's the
Write
trauma.
About it.
The thought.
I don't care how you get rid of it. Write about it.
Yes.
Record about
it.
You know, let me tell. I want to tell our listeners this. I'm gonna tell you this because this is something I do in therapy. You get your handheld recorder, whether you use your phone or any handheld device. Talk about your trauma. Talk about what you experienced, and listen to yourself. And you tell me whether you don't hear yourself in traumatized area or not.
Mm.
And you listen to it like you listen to a person. And if you hear those tones in your voice, the volume in your voice, you know what I'm saying, the pitch in your voice go high and low, listen to it. Does it sound like that person has resolved it? Or does that sound that person may not have resolved but think they have?
Mm.
You listen to it, and you determine whether you
There you go. Got your recorder right on your phone. Just speak into it. And then listen to
it. Listen. Listen to yourself. Thank you so much for listening to me. And again, my name is Dr. Debbie Green. For those who need counseling or any type of, you know, issues that you may have that you may not know what to do with, please feel free. Soulful Solutions with the S. Mail.com. Thank you. Facebook. Again, thank you. Subscribe to our channel because we're here Monday through Sunday, Monday through Saturday, you know, and I'm here every Thursday, and I would like to hear from you. Thank you so much.
All right. See you tomorrow on Health and Wellbeing. Yeah.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jeret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.